Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
You know, this week I was looking after the house, cleaning, getting the kids to school, hoovering, washing, ironing, you know. No, I wasn't doing all that stuff. I was having a great time. It was really good. You know, isn't it cool that the guys and girls are back with us from Greece? I'm so proud of them going. You can clap them because they deserve an awesome clap. And I know some of them are not here with us today. They're probably sleeping it off. You know, they'll become battle hardened. But as I was just spending time this week, and it gets pretty lonely without my wife around. You know. And I had to hug a pillow most nights. We got one of them long ones, so but it's nothing like Leah. But it's substituted. But it was, you do miss. You realize absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know, in human sense. But I don't want to be absent from the Lord too long. You know, I don't want to drift away from Him. But this word kept on coming to me: sabotage. You know, and it clicked in at the end of the week. But this word sabotage, sabotage, sabotage. Maybe it's because I watched a little bit of 300, and that film. That is a weird film. I got about two-thirds of the way through and thought, yeah, they're going to win at the end. But anyway, you know, I'll turn it off. But this word sabotage kept on coming to me. And, you know, we as people need to understand that the enemy is here to sabotage. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Cool. We're going to get everybody amen in this morning. But the enemy is here to sabotage the plans and purposes of God. That is his desire. That is what he wants to do. He wants to stop allowing God to work in and through you. He wants to stop the plans of God, and he will do anything that is within his realm or his ability or his power to do this. But my Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Bible says that I am more than a conqueror. My Bible says that actually the enemy cannot keep me down. My Bible says that he's been stripped of all power and principality. So I want to suggest to you today that the only way he's going to sabotage is if you let him. If you allow him with his voice or his actions or anything that takes place to come in, and you allow that to dwell and that to take root, you then begin and you partner with this idea of sabotage. You come in and it literally can take you off the path that you've been called to, because the enemy has come in and you have partnered with whatever the thought is. Amen? Yeah. How many of you have ever been sabotaged? Yeah. Amen. My hand is up high. Because I've allowed myself to partner with something that was not from God, and I've allowed to follow a trail for a time being. The Bible says that there are arrows in the air in Psalms. Mm. And sometimes we are the ones who fire the arrows off because we allow our mind to go somewhere. But the Bible says as well, we're going to quench those fiery things. We're going to stop those fiery things. We have a shield of faith. When I was watching that 300 and they all positioned themselves like this and they put their shields like this and apparently they covered and all these arrows are flying over, I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are dead. You know, there's thousands of these things. They all go under their shields and the arrows hit. Boom, 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 boom. They hit in there. And then they're all looking at each other, laughing at each other. Almost laughing at the enemy, thinking, you are going to try and pierce my shield of faith? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Do you understand what this bad boy is? Once this arrow's hit, I'm going to look at it, cut him off, and we're carrying on.
Yeah.
But the enemy can so easily sabotage. And he comes to the places where often we would maybe least expect it, to our closest relationships. Husband and wives and friends and family, keep your love on all the time. Keep your love on all the time. Last week we touched on the fact that we didn't touch on it, we more than touched on it. We are in koinonia, in partnership. Everything begins from partnership and flows through partnership. You were here because of partnership, literally, mom and dad. We're here today building life in partnership, together with one another. We build this church in partnership, in connection with a fivefold ministry, in the apostolic, in the prophetic, in with other churches building the kingdom of God, not the empire of liberty.
Yeah.
That shifts your thinking a little bit, doesn't it? From my empire to our kingdom. That means we can pray for one another.
Yeah.
We can stand alongside one another. We can bless one another. We can resource one another. And you know what? When that'll flow from church to church, when it flows from home to home. Sometimes we want to flow up here when we can't even flow down here. Let's start it with the essence, where it needs to be. You want to disciple well at home.
Yeah.
At home. Then we disciple well outside of home. We touched on that scripture in Ephesians 3, and I think it's verse 17. It may come up on the screen. It's so that may Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. You bring what you have. I bring what I've got. And together there's a greater comprehension of what God is giving to us. There's a greater comprehension of God's love for us. There's a greater understanding. Why? Because we know in part, and the Bible says we also prophesy in part. So if I know part, I can't confess to know everything. So please don't place me on that platform of knowing everything. And please realize you don't know everything. But you do know something. So please don't discredit what you do have. Because if you don't bring to the party what you do have, we're missing. We're missing a piece of the puzzle. We're missing a piece of the thing. We're missing your zone, because in your zone where you flourish is where other people will come alive and flourish.
Yeah.
Find your zone where you flourish and other people will just come alive in that. You've only got to look around. If people are being destroyed in the thing you're trying to do, then that's probably not your zone. It's probably not your place. Maybe rethink it. Or maybe they need to rethink it. You know, don't just go on one person. Maybe they just got a bad attitude towards you. I don't know. But there is something about finding the place where you belong and fitting with a place where somebody else belongs. And it's somehow God dovetails and partners this and grafts it together, like grafting it into the vine, and we grow into this beautiful thing. Is that good?
Yeah.
Too simple? No. God wants to move us from a requirement. Are we sitting in our lives thinking it's a requirement that I have to be here this morning? It is a requirement that I need to spend time with my Father. It is a requirement that I need to love people. Or have we moved a little bit to obligation? Well, I'm obliged to. Or are we moving a little bit further to commitment? I'm committed to this. Or are we in a place of devotion? Oh, I'm devoted to this. I am devoted to this. Everything else is distracting right now. I am devoted. See, when you've come to a place of devotion, you're able to see as a person, what is distraction? What is pulling you away? And actually focus and keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah. Amen.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
That is a place of maturity to get to. It takes others alongside you to help you into that place. Because our perspective is one perspective. It's one perspective. It's one view. I wear one set of lenses. Some of you wear glasses, those are your lenses. Some of us who don't wear glasses or contacts, those are our lenses. What lenses do you look at life through?
Yeah, it's good.
Because when you understand what lenses you look through, you understand that you have a perspective, but not the whole picture. And so when you come with your perspective plus somebody else's perspective, we build a bigger picture.
Yeah.
And so the goal is not actually getting you to do what I want you to do, the goal is understanding. Saying, how can I understand you? Because if I believe 100% and you believe that you are part of this body, this family, which means you're sowing into this family, you're providing in the family, you're being provided for, we're praying for one another, we're spending time together, then actually I have to honor what you bring.
Yeah.
Because if I dismiss it, it's not Bible.
Mm.
I can't dismiss it. It is okay to bring your opinion. In love. What's the goal with my opinion? To lift you higher.
Yeah.
To make you go further.
Yeah.
To make you run faster.
Yeah.
To point you closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's where I've got to filter my opinion through.
Yeah.
That place. Can I filter it through that place? Bible says knowing his disciples by how? Because we love one another. Oh. We love one another. Agape, selfless, not demanding, unconditional, keeping our love on. You're thinking, am I going to get there? It's okay. The goal, it's not to arrive there today. It's to say, okay, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, help me in this. Bring the right people alongside me. And sometimes when you pray that prayer, it might be somebody you don't want because they want to help you to get there. They don't realize they're helping you, but you're helping you. They're moving you gently, persuading you. Three things this morning, and we'll probably come back to the end about discipleship because we've kind of gone trust and into this discipleship area. Discipleship, it's not an option. You think, oh, hang on a second. I thought I could in and out of discipleship. I'm a Christian, but not a disciple. I don't want to really do the disciple thing. You can't separate those words, Christian and disciple. Because the Bible says, he said, go into all the nations and make disciples. It goes over and over on that word. It's not an option. We often think there's two types of Christians, the regular ones and those who are disciples. Ask yourself the question this morning, what are you, regular or in disciple? There's not two types of Christian. We are called to raise disciples. We are called to be disciple. The second thing is, it's not an option, but it is a journey. It is a journey. Jesus called those guys, and 3 years later, they were still a little bit ill-equipped. You know, you're thinking, hang on a second. Moments later, you're denying him. Now, all of a sudden, you're cooking breakfast on a beach and you're hanging out together. And now you're going to stand in front of thousands of people, Peter, and preach a word, and thousands get saved. You're thinking, this just does not sequence well. You are not prepared with everything that you need to be prepared with. Yeah. No, it is a journey. And sometimes the journey is slow, it seems, at times. That is because sometimes we are the resistance. We are sabotaging what God wants to do in and through us because we generally isolate ourselves. You see, when you come into a place where you allow other people, the right voices and the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom and there's victory, the right voices into your life, it actually makes your path straight. It makes your path straight. You think to yourself, oh, hang on a second, I'm not going, I seem to be meandering. I would question and ask, what are the voices in your life? You may think, well, this is a bit heavy teaching, Heath, but I got to go there this morning. What are the voices in? Because if you're meandering and you're wandering and you're going back and you're trying to, oh, well, if we could just have that back in the past, I would question the voices in your life. I would question who is speaking in and what are they saying? And then are you allowing them to as well? But it is a journey. Jesus took his disciples on a journey, didn't he? From the beginning to the cross. And then from the cross afterwards. We're called to be decisive on this journey. Be decisive. He said, I'm going to the cross for you, so follow me. Not if you follow me, I'll go to the cross for you. I'm going to the cross for you, so follow me. But sometimes we do, in Western culture, Wales, right here, we think discipleship's an option. It's not an option. But we fade in life into the zone where it just becomes really nothing. We don't do this thing. We don't do this thing with any purpose. I'm generalizing, okay? I'm generalizing. Because I honestly believe God is reawakening this whole thing that should be just normal in us of who we're discipling and who we're being discipled by. What is being input? And I know every day of your lives, you're touching people's lives. I know people's lives are touching yours. But we've got to go beyond surface touching. To actually the deepness of what's really in here, allowing people in, not the whole world, in order to step into the fullness that God has got for us. We have to go there. You can stay on the surface, but I suggest that the fullness of God is in allowing us, in us going there, in us going deeper than we've ever done before. You want to build your house on the rock, you've got to dig deep. Otherwise, we become these nice foundations. There's a housing estate over the other side of Newport, and literally they have to pay back the money now because they didn't dig deep enough. And the houses are whoosh. You know? You can slide from one room to the other. Kids love it, but not so much for you, you know? The whole thing. Why? Because we didn't dig deep enough. It didn't go deep enough. In John 13, verse 36 to 41, Simon Peter says to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where am I going? You cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will crow till you have denied me 3 times. And then he goes on in chapter 40 and says, let not your hearts be troubled. Peter's concern was more with his own security than actually anything else around him. God, why are you leaving me now? Hang on a second, Jesus. Hang on. It's just you and me. I need you. And he immediately goes into this place of this is about me. Discipleship's not about you. It's about a flow through you. The second thing is we focus so much on that, he forgets to cling to the fact that Jesus said, I love you and I want you to go change the world around you. as long as I'm good Jesus, as long as I'm cool Jesus. And then the third thing is, his self-focus leads to a distressed heart. Jesus says to him, let not your hearts be troubled. He's so troubled about Jesus leaving that his heart is so arrested that he forgets the fact that on you I'm going to build my church. Yeah. Oh, hang on a second. There's more. There is more. There's always more. Peter, do you not remember? But he's probably also realized, man, I'm going to die. I'm never going to deny you. And he goes through that journey of denying him and then meeting Jesus again. And then Jesus said, I'm still going to build my church on you. I am still going to build this thing on you. But in the moment sometimes, and this is where we got to almost renew our minds, in the moment we get stuck in the place of distress because we're so focused on ourselves. Most of the time we get stressed is because we got something we've got to do. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. Distraction. It takes you away from the things that God has called you to do and the places that he's put you. Amen? I hope I haven't lost you. I think you're there. We're going to dive jump a little bit this morning. If you read through the book of Luke, and this is, we're going on this journey of discipleship. Chapters 1 to 8, they focus on who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? You can read them. Don't read them all now, okay? Not a great time. I'd really like you to focus on what I'm saying. But go home and just have a quick, you know, who Jesus is. Then we hit chapter 9. And Peter has this revelation through the Holy Spirit. He realizes, my gosh, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. I thought you were one another prophet. I thought you were just another teacher, maybe just with a better gifting, you know? Pull out a few more tricks than the other guys. You had the act a little bit more polished. You were a bit slicker. Your song changes were really good. You know, your transitions were great. Justin, you were awesome this morning, mate. You know, just, you know, whoa, Jesus, I thought, you know, you've upped the game here. No, hang on a second. You're the Messiah.
Yeah.
You're the one that they've written about. You're the one that they've prophesied about. You're the one that half these people are not seeing, they're missing. I would suggest to you today that a lot of believers are missing the fact that Jesus is actually the Messiah, Lord, King, Savior, brother, friend. Because evidence of our lives and the fruit of our lives suggest that he is not that to us.
Amen.
He is not that to the church. I think we build our churches on so many other things. I will build my church on whatever. I don't know. And the gates of hell, well, they're going to prevail. Unless we build our church on him. He's the rock. He's going to build his church. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail. But he realizes in this moment, like, you're this Jesus. And I'm praying for a revelation for us first, for me first, for my family, then for my extended family, which you are. Oh, Lord, let us realize that you're the Messiah.
Yeah.
You're the King. Remind us again that everything moves in and through you. That you came to set us free. That we can come to the cross just like how we are and say, Jesus, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Wash me again. Wash me clean. He said, I've already done it, my son and my daughter. And then in Luke chapter 9, verse 57, we get to this point. And here's the question before we hit here. If Jesus is who he says he is, then what does it mean for me to follow him when he says, follow me? In Luke chapter 9, verse 57, it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, you picture the scene, right? Jesus is going along the road. There's a bunch of guys hanging out with him and girls, and they're having a good time. Sorry, this thing's unconnecting from my ear. There we go. I need more knobbly ears. Anyway, a bunch of guys are walking down the road, and they're hanging out, and then this guy says to him, hey, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Me. Woo, pick me. And Jesus turns around and says to him, you see, Jesus sees our hearts, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, we can stand in public and we can say so much stuff. And it's good, declare it. And you know what? Some people look at you and go, we'll see. Don't worry about that. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. You're shouting this off and shouting that off, you know. Bible did say they'll know us by our fruit, by the love. But he says this, and then Jesus stops, and I'm thinking this is a bit of a humbling moment. He says, Jesus said to him, foxes have holes. I would have been standing there with my notepad thinking, oh, here comes a bit of revelation. Foxes have holes. How do you spell that? Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jeez, what? Does that mean I'm in or I'm not in? Am I coming or am I not coming, you know? And then he goes on and says to another, he says to him, follow me. And this guy says, so this is another dude. And he says, the Lord first. Just let me go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I think this is a bit harsh, Jesus. Then the third guy says, hey, I'm in. I'll follow you too. But Lord, let me first just say farewell to those in my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Anybody ever look back? My hand's up. Don't let that condemn you, okay? We'll talk through it now. Discipleship. Allow yourself to be discipled and disciple others. There's got to be a flow. You can't give what you don't have. You cannot give out what you don't have. Three things, and we'll see how far we get. We may only do one. New priority, new identity, and a new mercy. New priority, new identity, and a new mercy. New priority. Man number one, I'll follow you wherever you go. He says it. Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, and Son of Man has got nowhere to lay his head. What's he saying to him? Jesus saying, I love what you're saying. I love it. It's great. It's good. But here's the reality. Here is the reality. And we look at the life of Jesus. This guy's probably looking and thinking, Jesus, saving people, healing people, setting people free. Sounds good. I want to be on team. Me on team. Whatever it takes. I can hold your Bible for you. You know, I can carry, you know, whatever it is. I'll stand there with a mic. I'll watch in case you fall off stage, Jesus, you know. Whatever that is. And Jesus says, here's the reality. I save people by being condemned myself. I save people by dying. I save people by laying my head on the line. I save people by maybe not having the comforts of life that you think we're going to have. I'm not here to create a war cry and a rally cry. Get the troops together, you know, do the haka together. Say, come on, guys. You know, it's great. I love the haka. But I'm not here to do it that way. I'm here to do it another way. Yeah. So if you're in, this is how we do it. We become the least of often. Yeah. We become despised sometimes and rejected.
Yeah.
We sometimes speak to people with all love and they reject what we've got to say. But sometimes we speak to them and they respond. We get the honor and the opportunity to see people's lives turned around. But we also see that some people will walk away.
Yeah,
we will see that some people will come into your presence and actually they will choose to walk out of this place the same that they came in. That is what we get. We get the mountaintops and we get the valleys. We get the in-between. We get the fast path down. We get the climbing up. We get it all. We don't just get here, carry my Bible, let's go for a walk, stay in a nice hotel, fly on a nice airplane, whatever it is, ride a nice donkey, Emirates donkey. Can you imagine that? Emirates, here he is. But you just, it's not it. This is the reality. Are you willing, saying to this guy, to really lay it on the line all for me? Because I love what you're saying. I love what you're saying. And here's the reality of it. Extreme devotion, we would call it. Relentless in our love, our relationship with Him, because He's relentless towards us. He's like, we sing that song, your love is relentless. His blood pouring out over us, relentless. Man 2 and 3, they come up and they say, hey, you know, Jesus asked them, will you follow me? And their replies are kind of similar. One I've got to bury and one I've got to say farewell. They're basically saying, once I'm done with this, then I'll do that. Once I am done with this, then I will do that. Can I ask you a question in your heart to think about? Do we do that sometimes personally with Jesus? Once I am done with this, then I will do that.
Yeah.
Jesus, just allow me a bit of time to do this, man.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to do this. Or actually, Jesus, I want to build this. Holy Spirit, can you fill this? fill this. Because this is what I want to do. I want you to fill this. And we spend so much time chasing and running. Again, coming back to this partnership. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. When we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, we bring it. Jonah never brought it. He never came. And he said, I'm going to do this. I pray we are a people who don't say, God, I'm building this, so fill it. We look at him and say, what are you building? I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of this, God.
Amen.
He's placed desires and things. You know, some of you in this place this morning, this just hit me. Some of you have compromised the desires in your heart because somebody has pushed you down.
Mm.
Not because God has said it's not for you, because you've allowed people to talk you out of it. You've got to keep this thing in tension. Some of you are literally not running the race that God has called you to do in the passing because you've allowed yourself to become a minion. I'm just going to sit down and just listen to what everybody else has got to say. Your dreams have been crushed. Now be careful with that, because you'll take that and say, see, I told you so. I was always right. No, but you do know the desires and the stirs in your heart. And in that tension, there is a partnership with people that God has placed in your life. And leadership that God has placed in your life in order to help you flourish into the very thing that God has called you to do. Otherwise, you think, forget them, I'm going on my own again. So you've got to hold this thing all the time. I know the desires God's placed in my heart. Most of the time for me, I get it wrong because it's timing. I do the wrong timing sometimes. That's okay. But I'm learning to have the right voices in order to correct my timing is my biggest issue. Because I see it. I see it. I'm like, I know what's going to happen. God has placed a picture in my heart and a desire in my life for what is going to take place in and around the churches in Wales and what's going to grow and what's going to happen. I can see it. He said, there it is. My timing. Whoa, sunshine.
Yeah.
Right people. Whoa, sunshine.
Yeah.
Right voices. Whoa, sunshine. Because if I do it too soon, we're going to have a premature thing going on.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard work. But these guys are saying, once I'm done with this, then. Ever heard this in your life? I'd love to come, but I just got to.
Yeah.
I had a teacher once tell me that if you ever ask a girl out for a date and she says she's just got to wash her hair, she's actually not really washing her hair. Yeah. I asked Leah once, you know, out for a date, and she never said she was washing her hair. She just said she didn't want to come. So it was like... That changed, didn't it? But have you ever had those people where they say, you know, I'd love to come, but I got a few things to do.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's cool. Maybe you're not their priority right now, but that's fine. But Jesus is questioning in this passage, my priorities. Are you my priority? Am I your priority? You are Jesus is saying, you're definitely my priority.
Yeah. Yeah.
But am I your priority? We need to reposition this. It almost looks like he's saying at the end of it, unless you're totally committed, you don't qualify for the kingdom. Remember that? No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom.
Yeah.
It almost looks like he's saying that. But here's the reality. None of us really qualify for the kingdom on our own merit, do we? How many of you got enough to get in on your own? No. There's this thing, again, together. We're saved by grace,
yeah,
through faith.
Yeah.
He qualifies you. He qualifies you. The delighting in, the resembling him, the serving him, the knowing him, the staying teachable. When we stay in those zones, do you know what? It gives space for the healing power of God to flow through us. That's what he's saying. If we're going to look back on this plow thing and think, I just want to go back there. I just want to stay there. I don't want to be discipled. I don't want to be anybody else being involved in my life. I don't want to move. I don't want to change. Let's be honest. We've all said that. And we may not have verbally said it, but we're saying it with our lives.
Yeah.
And then we think when we turn on a Sunday, oh God, let the healing power flow through me. Whoosh, right there, right here in this moment. Have you ever thought about this? Those of you who play sport or ever done some sort of thing. It's interesting how the more you practice, the luckier you get. Crazy, isn't it? The more you practice, the luckier you get. I used to be hours on the football pitch taking free kicks. I used to be the first there and the last to go home. I love taking free kicks. Part of the glamour, really, you know, getting up and over the wall, scoring the goal and go, yeah, look at me. But I used to practice and practice. And then somehow you get a game and you get one chance in a game with a free kick. You haven't got 16 or 17 or a row of balls. One chance. And I remember one season, every free kick besides one I put in the back of the net. People are like, you're just lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. Just practice. Isn't it interesting how the presence of God and the Holy Spirit starts to work in and through us and flow through us on a regular, consistent basis when we decide, actually, I want to be a part of this process. He can come and do what he wants when he wants. Just remember that as well, okay? So it doesn't disqualify you if you think, oh my gosh. God will do what he wants when he wants, and he'll bring gifting on you for a moment that he needs you to operate in for that moment. But generally speaking, when we get ourselves into that place, oh, it starts to begin to flow through us. It really does. The more we practice, the luckier we get. But often as the church, we're saying, God, I'm happy to be saved, but I don't want to be discipled. I want a destination, but I don't want a journey. I don't want a journey. Because the Christian life is not a journey of mountaintop experiences all the time. It's not all the time. Sometimes we are literally slogging it out. And then that, on those moments and on the mountaintops, speed dial 1, 2, 3, who are the guys and girls that I can call? Yeah. Hey, I'm going through this moment. It's an exciting moment. Won't you stand with me and pray? Won't you hang out with me? I'm going through this moment. It's not so exciting. It's tough. Won't you stand with me? Won't you pray? I was so encouraged this week when somebody rang and they said, you know, I'm struggling. I was like, yes. They're like, what are you excited about? I said, this is going to be a great moment of breakthrough. They're like, what are you excited about? I haven't told you how bad it is. I said, I don't care how bad it is. It's going to be breakthrough. Right, tell me. Let me do the pastoral thing. Tell me. It's like, whoa. By the end of the week, Friday, we were breaking through. Yeah. They're like, yes. I'm not saying it always happens like that, you know. But it does. It's breakthrough moments.
Yeah. Amen.
And it strengthens you. And you know what? That place, you'll be able to strengthen somebody else. Mm. You'll be able to strengthen somebody else. To another, it says this. He said, follow me. He said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. You know, he said, let the dead bury the dead. The dead can't bury the dead. Can't, can you? Just think about it. What is he talking about? Spiritually dead. Spiritually dead, go bury the spiritually dead. You know? Jesus is not talking about the physical here. He's addressing the spiritually dead, the blind, the insensitive of the spiritual reality of what's going on. We are spiritual beings in these earthly bodies, to see further, to see higher, yeah, for our eyes to be open more. But so much of us as church, we say, I believe you, but I'm not sure I can trust you and put you first because I got a career to worry about. I got parents. I got to fulfill their ambitions as well. I got plans. I'm not really ready to go on this journey, Jesus. But can you be there when I'm kind of finished? Do you know what? He will be there. I just pray before you finish, you realize that he is there. I see Christianity. I have an understanding, but I'm not really ready for you to be central to my life. Spiritually dead. And God's saying, crying out and he's saying, hey, I want to go deeper. I'm going to finish this. We're not going to get to new identity and new mercies. We'll just stick with a new priority, him. Here's the story. And it's a simple story. The other day when I went to somebody's home and I was dropping my kids off at Esther's house, you know, and I knocked on the door and Esther opened the door. She said, come in. She's inviting me in, you know. She didn't ask for Heath to come in. Baxter, which is my second name, don't mock me, please. Baxter to come in, not to come in, and Van Staden to stay outside as well, which is my surname. She asked for everything of me to come in. All three bits. Everything. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not that I'm saying that, but you get the picture, please. Don't confuse yourself. But often, when you invite somebody into your home, you don't say, you know, fine, Justin, J-Lo here to my house. I say, Jay, come in, but Lo, stay out, you know. Alex, come in, but Burton, stay out. Or actually, Burton, come in, because I like that rather than Alex. We don't do that, do we? But we do it with Jesus. We do it with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You come, but you stay out. You sit over there and we can't separate the body. I like the top half, but I don't like the bottom half, you know? I've got to work on a bit of strength up here, but, my legs are looking good. I'll take that part in. Please don't look at my legs now, okay? But that's the thing. And in a way, with the way we're positioning our lives, with our priorities, we're saying, Jesus, come in this part and don't come in this part. Or actually, I'll take Jesus, but I'll leave Father and the Holy Spirit. I want nothing to do with either, because we don't quite understand. And Jesus is asking us this morning through that thing of, I want to put a new priority in your place. Yeah. And some of you are like, well, He is. He's first. Fantastic. Awesome. Please stand alongside somebody else and help them to that place, because that's discipleship. Yeah. Don't think, I'm good. Woo, He's first. Help somebody else there. Yeah. But if He isn't, it's a journey. Remember that. It's not an option that we're disciple, but it is a journey. And so as we journey in these next few months and years and whatever it is, it may be a daily question. Say, Jesus, are You the priority in my life today? Am I making my decisions subject to You? Am I planning my future subject to You? Am I involving the people in my life that You've called me to involve or ask me so that we can see a greater fullness? Am I bringing my part of the revelation of Jesus, of You, to us as a people, to my Liberty group, to my family, whatever, to bring a part connected with another part to reveal the wholeness and the fullness of Christ? We as a church, do you know what? We are only part of what God wants to do in Newport. Do you know that? We are but a part of what God wants to do in Wales and in the nation. We are not it. We are not it. We find what we're called to do. We step into our zone. And we run with everything we can, and we carry what we've got, and we cheer others on, and we celebrate with others. We complete and we don't compete, and we bring a fullness to the kingdom of God. So when the people in the world look out, they do not see denominationalism. They do not see a bunch of individuals running out. They see a family of God defined by the love of God, because we are the disciples of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Mr. Hewitt, how are you, sir? Let's pray. Let's pray. When the worship team come. Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You, Father, for a repositioning. This is not a condemnation. This is an absolute celebration. A celebration that You, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, would come down and die for us on a cross. You would want to be central in our lives. Oh God, we think we don't deserve it. We would want kings and queens of this world in our lives. And You, the King above all kings, say, I want to be in Your life. I want to be central to Your life. I want to position myself right in the middle. I want to walk with You. I want to celebrate You. I want to talk to You. I want to lift You up. I want to encourage You. I want to press You forward into Your destiny. We have heroes that we look up to, who from a distance, some of us when we were kids would run and just want to get their signature. If I can just get you to sign this book. Oh, Jesus doesn't want to sign your book. Jesus, You want to be everything in our lives. Yeah. You've literally signed over our lives with Your blood. You give us value. So I pray this morning over the people this morning. I pray, God, a new priority. A new priority. And I pray in this new priority, our hearts will begin to melt as You give us a new identity. And as we know that Your mercies are new every morning. Father, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, I pray that they have a revelation this morning of who You are. Of who You are. Of who You are. Who You are.
Thanks for joining with us today. We pray that you are challenged and encouraged by what you've heard. See you soon.